If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
From lashes for days with the viral Liquid Lash Extensions mascara to awakening your eyes with lift and color from the Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is the go-to when you want to amplify your everyday look. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients that work with your skin. And for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. So every time you use your favorite Thrive Cosmetics product, you're helping communities you care about, too. Amplify your everyday. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/shine26 for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/shine26.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Ho, 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 and Merry Christmas. I am the great and jolly Mr. E.
And I'm J Clone 25.
And I gave you the illness. Merry Christmas to you.
The ick. I got the ick sick.
I did not realize how sick I sounded. Until I was listening back to something.
Go back and listen.
Like, oh.
Gosh. I hope I don't sound like crap.
I think you sound better than I did at the end of it, but I was sick for like 5 weeks.
I think I'm just in the beginning of it, too.
But
so
mine wasn't all the congestion stuff. Mine was the other stuff. And then I got this.
Then congestion.
Yeah. For everybody that emailed and asked and everything, Willow is doing much better. Thank you guys very much. Because when we recorded last week, remember, she was in the ER for hours and hours.
Well, you guys had just gotten back that morning. Mm-hmm.
Like at 8.
Yeah. For Crips and Coffee every Tuesday.
So thank you guys. We did get a lot of concern, and it means the world.
Yeah, it's nice.
So thank you guys very much. Remember, we love you. It's a hard time of year for, you know, depression and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So please check up on your friends, your neighbors. You know, just be the good in the world that you want to see.
Yes. Be the change.
Be the cryptid you want to see in the forest.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
I seen that as a t-shirt.
But don't act like the cryptid.
No, the cryptid you want to see. Nobody wants to see Dogman. But like you see a Fresno Nightcrawler coming out, and you're like, well, that's a cool little dude.
Some people want to see a Chupacabra.
The Fuzzy Peanuts. We haven't talked about them in forever.
Oh, yeah, we haven't. Or we haven't talked about the Adobo.
No.
Oh.
Don't be that one. Don't be that one.
I wouldn't mind being that one.
But yeah. All right, you ready? We're going to talk about the man who saved Christmas.
Ooh, all right.
And then ruined it.
Oh.
So this is the last 2 weeks have been very different from our typical bag that we do.
Yeah.
This is a history one, but it's Christmas themed, and I thought it would be fun to kind of do something different and lighter. But then next week, we're getting right back into the plasmoid stuff.
Ooh, I hope you guys are ready for plasmoids. New year, new us.
Not really.
Plasmoids. Plasmoid us.
Oh, there we go. Andralis is plasmoids. I could do that.
Ooh, I think I could too.
Just dump paint. Two different colors on a piece of paper.
Done.
Plasmoid.
That's it. That's what it looks like.
We're going to talk about A.C. Gilbert. Do you know who that is?
I only know one A.C. and his last name ain't Gilbert. I didn't know that was a common name.
A.C. Gilbert?
Just A.C.
It's not, well, it's his first and second name. It's just what he goes by is A.C. Gilbert.
Okay.
But yeah, he's quoted as the man who saved Christmas, and I put it as the man who ruined Christmas, too.
What, is it just a matter of how you're looking at it?
It's different things.
Okay.
This toy company that we're going to talk about produced some of the world's best toys and some of the world's most dangerous toys.
Nice. So the best toys.
Well,
I don't care. The best toys I ever had were dangerous.
A little more dangerous than like a four-wheeler or a gun.
Oh, yeah? More dangerous than a gun?
Yes.
No. What do you make, bombs?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess you're right then.
In 1918, the America was at war. The country needed a devoted all its industrial might to the victory in Europe. A war council conditioned banning all toy production and prohibiting gift-giving at Christmas.
We prohibited gift-giving in the 1800s?
No, 1918.
No, 1918, sorry.
Now, this is common in both world wars. That a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah.
Is because of materials.
Mm-hmm.
So metal, especially for gifts at this time, most children's toys were metal. That's why you can still find a toy from 1916.
It's still around.
A little tin toy or whatever.
Yeah.
There's one in my garage on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
That was my great-great-grandmother gave it to her son, and it's in the garage.
It's wild.
And I used to ride on it.
Yeah. But now the toys we get are made are all disposable, and they're last a year.
There was the war council was considering banning it for resources and banning like gift giving in general. Like, don't spend money on gifts.
No.
Don't waste the resources. And this is why.
It's wild.
Yeah, isn't it crazy? That happened. It's happened.
I know. And gosh, how long before they make us do it again?
Considering banning all. So it took A.C. Gilbert, the inventor of one of his most famous toys, which I'm going to skip. For now, because I don't want you to know it.
The name or?
Yeah. The name of his famous toy. So he decided he was going to save Christmas. Before we get to that, we'll talk a little bit more about Gilbert.
Okay.
He had a remarkable life. He was a medical doctor, an Olympic gold medalist winner, a magician, a wizard, a toy millionaire, and a big game hunter. And most of all, he was a kid at heart.
Sounds like a good guy.
But maybe not the big game hunting thing.
Well, I mean, yeah, but this is 100 years ago. Times were a little different. We didn't know that.
We'll see how much you think he likes kids. So I've listened to several podcasts from this guy. I think he's super fascinating because he's a wizard. He's an actual wizard.
Okay.
I kind of think he secretly hated kids.
Why?
You'll see.
Okay.
So he wore out old Garbinian suits and rubber-soled shoes. He always carried a pipe that he sometimes struck out of his pocket while lit.
Okay.
So he'd put a lit pipe in his pocket.
Well, I mean, pipes were different.
In October of 1918, he bought a scaffold full of educational toys to Washington, D.C., and let a room full of cabinet secretaries play with him.
Okay.
Yeah, this is right when the War Council is talking about banning Christmas.
Gotcha. Okay.
This is a toy millionaire. His full name, though, was Alfred Carlton Gilbert.
Okay.
So A.C. Gilbert. Born in Salem, Oregon, February 13th of 1884. He had a strict Congregationalist father, a banker, viewed his son with puzzled pride, according to his obituary.
Okay.
Like he was proud of his son.
Yeah.
But he's like, he has a strange, strange life. I don't understand what he does.
But he's proud of him.
But he's doing good.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
But you're just like your grandparents and you're telling me you're a YouTuber or a podcaster. And they're like, well, what is it? You're doing good.
Yeah. Just don't even explain it.
Through Frail, though, he had a competitive streak, winning a tricycle race at the age of 7. As a boy, he turned to the family barn into a fire department, cutting a hole in the haymarrow floor and installing a wooden pole and cot. The neighborhood would set a small brush fire while he and his friends would pretend to sleep in their cots. The neighbors would then ring the alarm, and the boys would rush to the fire in the wagon rigged with a 110-foot garden hose.
That's pretty funny. I mean, that sounds like fun.
Gilbert also loved magic. He practiced his tricks relentlessly. He got so prolific, he once matched a professional magician trick to trick as a kid.
Wow.
My boy, you'll be the greatest sorcerer, the magician said.
That's pretty awesome. Every kid wants to hear that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you imagine this like 8-year-old is matching a professional like trick for trick.
Yeah. Well, we don't. And two, like, we don't know how good the professionals were back then, you know, as compared to now. But still,
just early 1900s had a lot of really high end magicians.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. Like Chris Angel
now, level. I don't know.
That's a joke.
Think about Houdini.
I guess you're right. Yeah.
Think about some of these where you couldn't, like the special effects stuff of magic today.
Didn't exist. Yeah.
Like it was all practical.
So you had to be more sleight of hand. Yeah. No camera tricks.
Mm-hmm. Like the walk through the wall one. I just watched how they did that one. And like, I think that one was in like 1920.
Walk through the wall?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you just dematerialize and go down to the atoms and go between the wall.
Have you ever seen it?
Nuh-uh.
So it's crazy elaborate.
Okay.
Because it has, you like they let people come up and inspect the wall. It's a brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
You inspect the floor and everything like that. There's a hard floor that drops out and lets the guy slide under real quick, and he just pauses like he walked through the wall, but there's a curtain that comes up and goes away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's crazy. Like, but they let people come up from the audience and inspect it, and you're stamping on the wall, like on the floor and everything. Yeah. It's solid.
Yeah.
I can't remember when the first time they made an elephant disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty insane because you have to get an elephant to cooperate with the trick very quickly.
Right. Yeah.
Connor, how hard is that?
He'd be the one to know.
But yeah, Gilbert also loved athletics. He only grew to be 5'7", and he weighed 130 pounds.
Who is this man?
He had a skullet, and he was bald.
Yeah, whatever. No, but the first part you nailed. That's me.
Still, he was excellent at track, gymnastics, wrestling, and boxing, often going way above his weight class.
Nice.
Gilbert attended Pacific University, where he met and later married Mary Thompson. While dating, he put one arm around her and practiced magic with his free hand, she recalled. He went east in 1904 to study medicine at Yale, but he didn't intend to open a clinic or physical practice. Instead, Gilbert wanted to stay in sports as a health advisor.
Hmm.
He competed at the Olympic Games in London in 1908, winning gold medal for pole vaulting.
Wow.
During the trials, he set the world record. He was the first man to ever top the 13-foot mark.
Wow.
After earning his medical degree in 1909, he borrowed $5,000 from his father and started the Mephisto Manufacturing Company in New Haven.
That's wild. He's a pole vaulter, too, because that's probably the hardest thing, I would say.
A doctor, a boxer, a magician, yeah. a sorcerer.
Does it all.
Mm-hmm. The company made magic tricks for kids, like kits. Cards, interlocking rings, and so on and so forth with instructions.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted to be the first like set, and this company's still around, but the first set for kids to get into magic.
Gotcha.
Soon, he opened a store in New York. One day in 1912, he rode into the New York on a train. Railroad was converting steam to electricity, and Gilbert watched as the construction out the train window. The network of girders erecting to carry the electrical lines fascinated him. He thought, what a fun thing that we'd be make miniature girders.
Oh, boy.
So do you know what game he made? What toy he made?
Miniature girders. Oh, gosh, no.
At home that night, him and his wife sat in the dining room table and he cut miniature girders out of cardboard. He then asked a local toy maker to make a set for him out of steel. The Erector set flew off the shelf.
Mm, he made the Erector set.
Probably the most famous toy in world history.
It was on Sandlot.
Gilbert renamed his company after himself, and it thrived. He turned out chemistry sets, electric trains, tool chest, mineralogy sets, and in the 1960s, he went back to magic sets. For more than 50 years, A.C. Gilbert's company ranked the top producer of learning toys in the world. He says this, I remained a boy at heart and only introduced items that appealed to me. I figured it would appeal to all boys. He insisted on punching the time clock as every employee did. He stood in the lines with them in each morning. The company offered benefits like paid maternity leave and health insurance contributions, which for a company at the time was unheard of.
Right, yeah.
Other companies hated him.
Mm-hmm.
For the early 1930s into the late 1950s, A.C. Gilbert employed as many as 5,000 people. He was the largest employer in New Haven. As the United States prepared to enter World War I, President Wilson appointed government officials of the Council of National Defense. He tasked them to coordinating resources and industry into the war effort. So this is like toy companies and canning companies started making ammunition and tank parts and all kinds of crazy stuff. This happened both world wars.
Yep.
The War Council turned to the country's industry, making war materials, banning the manufacturing of non-necessary essentials.
Mm, that's not right.
Yeah, so they're like, you can't, it's illegal now for your company to make anything that is not necessary.
That's kind of like what we went through recently, where it's like, you can't be open if it's not an essential.
Not the show.
I know, but it's similar.
It is very similar. The council asked A.C. Gilbert to make ammunitions instead of toys.
That's crazy.
And he did. They asked him to promote war bonds, and he did. The War Council considered banning gift-giving for Christmas, and that's when he snapped.
Yeah, drawing the line there.
A.C. Gilbert could not let that happen.
Yeah. Good.
You made the sorcerer angry.
Right. Gosh, I want to be a wizard sorcerer against the government.
I thought you would connect with this guy.
Wait till you
see a picture of him, because he looks just like you.
I'm probably him reincarnated.
He looks like you with a longer beard, like all white. But he was only like 29, and he had an all white, like long beard.
Shoot, at this rate.
As president of Toy Manufacturing of America, Gilbert wrangled a meeting with the War Council. They only gave him 15 minutes to persuade them not to kiss off Santa for Christmas.
And he did it?
Gilbert packed a bag with toy submarines and trains, picture books and air rifles, and took the train to Washington. As he sat outside the office of the Navy Secretary, Joseph Daniels, bureaucrats walked past and glanced at his toys. He tried to hide them behind his satchel, sorry, just... And he's this wizard sitting in D.C.
Like hiding his toys from...
Hiding toys from bureaucrats.
Yeah.
And now you're like, what is that guy hiding?
Right, yeah.
Finally, his name was called. The Naval Guard inspected his toys before he could bring them in. Mm. Is that a bomb? Right. Is that a gun?
Like an assassination plot?
Yeah. I mean, he does... You imagine, like, the wizard. a wizard coming in.
With an air rifle.
Head of industry.
Yeah.
Gilbert spread the toys out all over the table. Daniel's focused on the toy submarine, asking where he could buy one. Because keep in mind, this is the head of the Navy.
Right, yeah.
And so he's looking at a toy submarine like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Secretary of Commerce William Redfield pushed the toy train around the table. I learned the rudimentaries of engineering on an engine just like this, he said. So the Interior Secretary, Frank Knight Lean, picked up a book on aviation. According to the Boston Post, Gilbert told the War Council the great influence that life of boys had on, and there's toys that, you know, basically, you can't get rid of this.
Right, yeah.
Because this inspired you guys.
Yep.
So you're going to take this away from the next generation.
And look where you guys are now, and mm-hmm. Yeah.
The boys want fun, not educational. Yet through the kind of toys American toy manufacturers are turning out, he gets both. The American boy is a genuine boy, or a genius boy. And he wants, you know, genuine genius toys. He wants guns that really shoot. And that's why we have given them air rifles. And time that it was big enough to hold them. It's because of the toys had in childhood that American soldiers are the best marksmen in the battlefields of France. Finally, he said, toys that educate help boys visualize their future.
That's true.
And this is, I know this is, keep mind everybody at home, this is the same for girls, but this is 1918.
Yeah, but they were having a meeting about, like, he was in the military. Yes. And there weren't girls fighting in the military.
I'm just saying, Gilbert did specialize in, not just girl toys, but towards the end, like in the 50s and 60s,
yeah,
there was much, much more
boy toys,
girls stuff coming
oh,
out.
Oh, gotcha. I gotcha.
I'm just saying that this time that it was so focused on boys. I just don't want it.
Well, that's what he
girls
said.
To feel left out. Cause
right. But that's what he said, though, too, is he said, I want to make toys that appeal to me mm-hmm. and what I like, which, you know, I think that's a great thing because maybe that would inspire a girl version of him to do the same thing.
I think it did. I mean, I think yeah. a lot of his sets inspired some of the earliest, you know, female engineers and female mm-hmm. high-level scientists and, mm-hmm. you know, that they could do these things. And because you could get a kit and actually do it, because there was a lot of times
right.
where girls specifically weren't allowed into, like, science club and weren't allowed into these extracurriculars
mm-hmm.
that were, you know, boy-specific. So you could, your parents could get you with a kit and you could do it at home.
Yeah.
And you could be a mineralogist.
All he had to do was spray paint them pink.
The postman ran a photo of Gilbert in the erector set above the caption, saying the man who saved Christmas.
Wow.
After the war, A.C. Gilbert and Company grew to the largest toy company in the world. He did it for the satisfaction of competition and to accomplish his goal more than he did it for the money, or called Herbert Pierce, Gilbert's former plant manager. Gilbert called his workers co-workers, not employees. He visited the night shift once a week and would work through it and see how things were going. Almost always found something to change or improved.
See, but I mean, that's just a good example, though, of why they were the number one toy producer in the world is because mm-hmm. of him right there. Just having that thoughtfulness and effort. And good luck seeing that today.
Yeah.
You're not.
The company had a credit union offering free legal advice and threw a Christmas party for children every year. Co-workers could take their grievances directly to AC himself.
Mm-hmm. We just walk over to him.
Mm-hmm. But the company really stood out, said Pierce. Because of its board or broad range of manufacturing equipment and skills, it had big presses, screw machines, die casting, and tool making equipment. It made its own dies and plastic molds, added its own painting, its own printing, made its own boxes, formed its own wires. In addition to toys, the Gilbert Company made small appliances as well as educational toys.
It's wild. You'll never find that again today.
So what they're saying is they did everything in-house.
Yep.
Nothing, only raw materials
yep.
came inside the AC Gilbert factory.
That's wild. So, yeah, we're so far from that now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because just, I mean, I know a little bit about just industry, but you'll never find everything all in one house now.
Now, you
got to have everything shipped in, mm-hmm. or you're one of the specialty places where you make the stuff. Like, for us, for example, my mom and dad, they work at a injection molding company. They don't make the tools and the dies,
right?
Then that gets, you know, contracted off.
Yeah, they have to order them.
Someone else designs it, builds it, and makes it, and then they bring it to you, and then we put it in our machines, and we just make the parts and ship them out. But we don't own the tool, and we don't own the parts we make. We just make them and box them up and ship them out.
The building.
And then, yeah, and then we ship them out to another company where they, assemble them all together, put the products together. It's wild, but there's all in-house anymore. Never. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen.
So then in 1938, Gilbert bought American Flyer, a struggling toy train manufacturer.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's heard that.
Yeah, the American Flyer, don't they make the little wagons too, right?
Yep. Yeah. Well,
I think, right?
Yes.
Is that coming up?
During World War II, the company retooled its electric train factory to make parachute flare casings.
Okay. For the war. Yeah.
Here's a quote. I love to see the wheels go around and around. I love to see people develop. It's not for profit alone, he told the New Yorker in an interview. Sure, that's part of it because no one has fun. No one's having any fun going busted.
Mm-hmm.
But I know this. Just my objects of making money has never been meant for anything. The object of making money has never really meant anything to me. Gilbert made plenty of money, though. He bought a country estate in Hamden with two lakes.
Wow.
A golf course, a lodge filled with his stuffed big game trophies. He shot every kind of American game that had importance, according to his obituary in the New York Times. His paradise farm had a dairy herd and a pasteurization system that provided milk for the company's cafeteria.
Gosh.
He bred hunting dogs and champion German shepherd dogs. Gilbert also developed an old orchard road into New Haven, one of the town's finest residential neighborhoods.
Nice. New Haven.
And this, isn't it crazy?
It is. And it's just like, money's never really been, that important to me. But I'm spending it like crazy, making all this awesome stuff.
I mean, that's the thing is, how many billionaires or millionaires that hoard everything?
All of them?
Once you get it.
All of them?
You sit on it like a dragon.
All of them?
It just seems like I'm from, the past, looking. This guy was spending
just as much
as he was making.
Which is great.
And they he developed. He developed things. Here's a dairy farm. Here's, still today, Old Orchard Road, one of the best residential neighborhoods in New Haven.
Yeah.
He built all of that.
That's wild.
At 70, when he wrote his autobiography, he titled it The Man Who Lives in Paradise.
He built his own paradise.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, let's get to some of his nefarious things.
Okay. Well, so far, overall, I think he's a great guy. With good intentions.
The best intentions can lead to some peril.
Sure. That's life.
He made a very bad toy in 1950.
All right.
It was an educational science set.
Okay.
It was called the U-238 Atomic Energy Lab.
Okay.
You want to guess what the U-238 Atomic Energy Lab had?
I'm imagining uranium would be the would be the U. That's what the U stands for.
So in 1950, A.C. Gilbert Company introduced the U-238 Atomic Energy Lab, one of the company's few flops it ever had.
You can't be perfect at everything.
So it carried a price tag, though, of $49.50 in 1950, which today would translate to roughly $550.
Wow. Okay.
So it was not a cheap kit.
No.
The kit, though, had an electric microscope, a spinal graph, a cloud chamber, which is what you use to see radioactive material, the particles flying off, four glass jars containing uranium-bearing ore and samples and batteries. It came with four glass jars of
uranium.
It also featured a comic book, How Dagwood Split the Atom. The instruction suggested playing hide and seek with hidden radioactive samples in the Geiger counter provided.
It does sound like fun if you didn't know the effects.
But at this time, we did know the effects a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah, but there was probably just as much people out there saying, it's fine.
Now, the weird thing is, it didn't sell very well, and that was because of the price tag, not nearly as much as the danger.
Okay.
He also did produce some other scary kits, which we'll get to. Mm-hmm. There was a few flops that were just not well thought out, because he did like to have it where kids could like get into industries, but some industries aren't like
meant for kids.
Appropriate to hand a box of stuff and be like, "Here you go, John.
Let's learn about uranium."
In 2006, Reader Magazine listed it as the second most dangerous toy of all time.
Second?
It killed the second most kids.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
You want to know what the first most dangerous toy is?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Which is this week's Patreon episode, is the 20 most dangerous toys in the U.S.
The Easy Bake Oven?
Lawn darts.
Oh, lawn darts.
Lawn darts kill a lot of people.
Wow.
A lot of just hitting the head.
Well, yeah, that would... Regular darts, too. I knew a kid that dropped a dart from the dartboard. He was, you know, just tall enough to reach the dartboard. So he was pulling them out, and it was his metal tip darts. And he popped one out of the singers. It fell straight down right in his eyeball. He had to wear an eye patch for a few weeks.
It just makes me laugh. A.C. Gilbert, though, died in Boston on January 24th of 1961. His son, also named A.C., had been running the company for some time, but it didn't survive long after the founder's death.
Mm. Okay.
So, like, his son was starting to kind of take over anyways when he was getting old.
Okay.
But it definitely, it just lost its spark when he died.
Yeah, I mean, naturally.
Yeah. And it's just hard. I think it was such a powerhouse that without that energy source of him coming in and doing and being crazy and...
When keeping
the... dancing around in his wizard hat.
Right, yeah. But constantly keeping the... Pushing the envelope forward for... It's not just for him, but it's for everybody working there.
Yeah, he's the sail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for the ship to continue.
Oh, gotcha. That kind of sail, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's just, he's the direction.
He's the wind.
Mm-hmm.
He's not even the sail. He's the wind.
Gilbert had a showroom in New York called the Gilbert Hall of Science, a forerunner to today's Science Museum in New York.
Okay.
Today, the Eli Whitney Museum and Workshop in Hamden has an exhibit on A.C. Gilbert. It also collects and studies the products and legacy of A.C. Gilbert and his companies. The Erector Set has a legacy of its own.
Yeah, it does.
Bill Sewell, a Yale medical student or school student, in 1948, built a heart bypass device. And in 1948, the Erector Set with the Erector Set parts and the Erector Set motor. The origins of today's artificial heart.
Oh, wow. No way.
So a Yale medical student used the Erector Set to build the prototype for today's artificial heart.
Yeah, kids' toys are just different today.
Like, this man, seriously, founded most of today's men and women in industry and in science and in any kind of productive means like this, mm-hmm. anything that pushes the envelope.
Yeah.
He gave kids for, dozens of decades. Not
uranium.
Dozens of decades. Dozens of years. I mean, there were some flops, because I have some more flops. I think he went a little too... they all can't be hitters.
No, and sometimes you got to go too far, just to
see... Some kids have to die.
To see where the line is. Like, you have to know.
So there was I'll finish this blurb, and then we'll talk a little bit more about some of the extra stuff.
Okay.
Because there were some fun labels on the uranium kit.
Oh, gosh, okay.
To let you know how dangerous it was.
So they warned you it was dangerous.
But it sat on a shelf in, like, Walmart.
And I mean, if you buy it...
But imagine just passing it. Like, it's uranium. You know how much...
Yeah.
You know, it's radioactivity. It's when you put it in the cloud chamber, you see all those little bullets coming off it?
Yeah.
Those are all bad things.
So you're reading the label on the back, reading the... Huh, like, maybe Johnny's not ready for it. Put it back on the shelf.
Five and up.
You finish all your chopping, you're checking out the line, and then your ear's falling off.
Yeah, you just start, like, coughing blood.
Yeah. I think I'm getting sick.
In the early 1990s, Mark Summers had an assignment to build a virtual reality ride for Disney's California Adventureland in Anaheim. He used Erector Set parts to design the ways for cars to fly over in virtual reality screens. And Dr. Jack Korovican created his... This is a bad one.
Uh-oh.
I forgot about this one. Dr. Jack created his suicide machine from the Erector Set.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Yeah, that's bad. What's that?
We're not going to talk about that.
Okay.
But yeah,
well, so, yeah, you just go to Canada if you want those now. They allow that.
we'll take our little ad break here, and then we'll come back and we'll finish some stuff out about AC Gilbert, and then we'll talk about our own some maybe Christmas memories and some of our favorite things we got.
All right.
What ad you want?
I don't care. Let's do a Flavors of the Forest classic. Welcome to the latest episode of Cooking with J-Clone 77. And today I'm joined by a special guest, the Veggie Man. Say hello, Veggie Man. So you've got a special treat for us today. You're going to be cooking a new veggie dish, a vegan dish for us today. And what do you got on the menu? Ooh, artichoke asparagus spread, eh? Now, I don't particularly like this, but I'm going to go on a limb and give it a try. Oh, my goodness. It's delicious. What's the secret ingredient? Flavors of the Forest Bigfoot breath? Raw garlic dust? Wow. They freeze dry the highest quality of ingredients raw to capture the flavor you won't find in stores? Wow. Thank you, Veggie Man. I'm going to add this to my kitchen. That's Bigfoot breath by Flavors of the Forest. You can get yours at flavorsforest.com, and you can cook flavorsforest.com/corn, and you can cook just like the Veggie Man. Great ads. Great ads. I'm really good at those.
All right. So some of the warnings on the radioactive kit. Or do not break glass unless you want to glow.
Oh, okay.
Now, the problem with that is...
kids want to glow.
They're like, whoa.
Glow?
I can glow?
RC glow.
And it didn't. The uranium ore glowed at night, like in the dark.
Yeah.
It glew like green and everything like that.
Like the classic, this is going to kill you glow. Like Mr. Burns when in the Halloween episode when he turns into an alien looking thing. And he's glowing out in the woods.
Because it's his weekly thing to keep him alive because he's 400 years old.
Yeah. So it's you glow like that. That's nice.
Hit my coffee cup on things.
That's all right.
Just a little coffee cup.
Just a tiny one, yeah.
It fits a pot and a half of coffee in it.
That one's giant.
Another one he did was to make your own toy soldiers. He had a little kit to make your own toy soldiers.
Okay.
It was a lead smelting kit.
So they're like... oh, darn. Yeah, that's not good.
Which had an open cast to heat the lead.
Pour it in?
No, you put the lead ingots in.
Oh, gotcha.
Into the cast.
And then it heats it up.
It was open, and it would heat it, and then you would pour it into the molds.
Yeah.
Problem was, this was for like 8-year-olds.
Yeah.
And the chemicals coming off.
Is bad.
Is extremely toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And people would do this in, like, the house.
Oh, boy.
So I've smelled lead for, like, sinkers and stuff like that. You do it outside.
Yeah.
And you're very careful with ventilation.
Ooh. Well, is there a warning label on this one?
No.
Probably not.
Hot.
Yeah, hot.
Like what? 800 degrees. And yeah. Kids would pour into the toy soldiers. And then you would have a lead toy soldier to play with.
I mean, the idea is cool, just minus the lead. If they could have substituted the lead out for... Anything that would have been, I mean, that's neat that you unlocked a memory I had when I was little. We had this little, I wonder if I could find it. I cannot remember what it was called, but it was like this little set. It was like that. You'd make your own little things like out of a lab, but it was like molds. They would have these molds and but the stuff that you would pour into it, you would melt it down. You'd melt like different colors and stuff into it.
Crowns?
It wasn't crayons. It was something else because it was like when they would come out when they were done and they would cool, they were like bendy and like not gel-like, but like.
Oh, I had a bunch of kits like that. Every Christmas I got science kits.
Well, this was like some mad scientist lab because like the guy on the front, yeah, you'd create these little creatures in the molds and.
I didn't know exactly which one you're talking about.
And you could play with it. They were little metal molds, yeah.
They were metal?
They were metal. Metal, like, and they were two-halved, and you put them together.
The molds were metal.
The molds are metal. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Sorry. No, the creatures were, like, gummy-looking. Yeah. I even think they might have been gummy enough. I think you could eat them.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. I can't remember now. But I was a kid, and I thought that was, like, I was real little, though, and I thought that was wild.
One I always, well, we got a couple times was the Super Bowl set.
The what? Super Ball?
Yeah, to make your own super bouncy ball.
Oh, okay, okay.
Because you failed most of the time.
Okay.
It was very, very specific. You had to follow the scientific directions and the mold and how to cool it and how to heat it and everything. Like,
yeah.
To make it, like, we could bounce it over our three-story house.
Nice. No, I never had that one.
But half the time, you would go out there and it would just explode when you bounced it because you didn't do it right.
Gotcha. So, but if you did, it was rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like fun. Yeah, better than lead. Better than a lead toy soldier.
That was, I mean...
You know, it's a miss. Just a miss. That's all right.
Yeah.
You go back and try again. You don't stop.
The radioactive one is...
Well, I mean, they put that in... what do they put in smoke detectors?
I think it's a little different.
But what is it?
Is it uranium? No. And I don't think they do that anymore.
But they did. So, you know what? Give AC a break. You know what? They put an everyday... household items that you need. And there are still those people going around saying that, you know, radiation wasn't even bad. Like that guy that would swim around the retention pond around the, for the cooling tank for the...
Chernobyl?
No. There's a video. No, it's here in America. There was like a power plant, but what's it called? Why am I blanking on the name? Nuclear power plant.
Yeah.
You know how they have the pools of water
I've been in them.
Like the radiation pools to...
But they're not radiation pools.
Not radiation pools.
They're cooling pools.
The cooling pools that go through like...
There's not supposed to be any radiation in them.
That's what the guy said because he was swimming in it.
There's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
If there's radiation in them, that's bad.
They cool the rods or whatever, right? Yeah, yeah.
The vents, because it's basically steam power is what a nuclear reactor is.
Yeah.
Is using the heat and energy produced
from the
reaction to do that. But no, it's... It shouldn't be, because I've been in outfalls and stuff like that for that, checking for things. It should not be radioactive.
They say.
Because they dump into, like, Big Bertha for Lake Erie.
Okay.
You can fish right beside it.
Yeah, that's what they say.
And, I mean, there's survey teams. Like, even my team did radioactive surveys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for the Ohio River and stuff like that.
Yeah, how'd those go?
Ohio River is from different, it's not from nuclear reactors, it's from coal.
Oh, okay.
Like, literally, because it's the coal slosh pits will wash out into the river, and coal's associated materials, like our uranium and stuff, and other radioactive isotopes. Yeah, not good.
No, not good.
I have more about the set if you want more about the set.
The lead toy soldier set?
No, the other one, the radioactive kit.
Oh, sure. Like, let's do a couple things about it. If you got,
but yeah, it's a toy set that allowed children to create a nuclear and chemical reactions using radioactive materials.
That's pretty sweet.
It looked really cool. The set looked really cool because it had a little dome you could create a nuclear reaction in.
How much do you think that set's worth now? Unopened, unboxed. Probably millions.
I don't think you could buy it legally. I think because you're not allowed to own...
Uranium?
Yeah.
Not no more? But see, this should fall...
No, I think you are allowed to own like certain... Because like, you can have uranium in like rock collections and stuff like that, but I think it's got to be depleted.
Or like that uranium glass... You ever seen that?
Yeah, there's some in this house.
Yeah. That stuff's cool.
It glows green or red, depending on what it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, it was released in 1950. Like I already said, it was created by A.C. Gilbert. He's just a crazy man. Director set, you know. Solid American characters, always, they said.
He should be on the Mount Rushmore. We need a Mount Rushmore of American citizens, not presidents. That, you know, just...
Did things
that was good for, you know, four solid Americans to look up to, and this is one of them.
So, like I said, it had a cloud chamber. It allowed you to watch alpha particles traveling at 12,000 miles per second.
Gosh, that's pretty fast.
A spiroscope showed radioactive disintegration on a fluorescent screen, which I don't even know, and the electroscope... Measuring the radioactivity of different substances in the set.
That's pretty advanced for a 1958 kid's toy.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild. I mean, but think about it, though. Just having... I know it's super extremely dangerous and stuff, but having that thought and stuff for your kids, basically, he's imagining that they're capable of handling this stuff and capable of learning about it. When it feels like nowadays, you know, we kind of, I feel like we dumb stuff down because we don't think kids are ready or can handle it, which
it's not true in my opinion at all. I think kids are way smarter than we give them credit for.
Kids are, yeah.
And I think, but I think a lot of the toys and stuff we give them, you know, that isn't involving a tablet or something like that, you know, are pretty generic and not as mind expanding as a uranium set where you can actually, where you can see chemical reactions.
There needs to be, the middle ground is where he was working.
Yes.
And that's where most of his things were. Yes. This was not. So.
This was extreme.
So but it was never very popular, and it was very soon taken off the shelves for making people very sick. Mm. They only sold 5,000 kits, and the product was only offered for a little less than a year.
That's wild. That's awesome, though.
Gilbert believed the Atomic Energy Lab was commercially unsuccessful because the lab was, he guessed, more appropriate for those who already had some education background.
Yeah.
Rather than Gilbert's company's younger, typical target audience.
So, yeah, he was just a little too...
He should have made it for colleges.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I agree with. That's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Not 9-year-olds.
Right.
Right. Here's 4 packs of radioactive material.
But I do just love, though, he thought kids are capable of learning this stuff. And that's, I like that. I like that about it. I don't like the uranium aspect of it, but I just like that.
It came with powdered lead, too. Sorry.
Oh, gosh. That got worse. Wait, which one? The other one? The toy soldier?
No. The atom kit.
No, oh, okay. Yeah, so it's bad. It's just...
Because that's how you cool down the reaction is lead.
Okay.
You dump some powdered lead into it to breathe in.
Nice, okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
This is like a toy you give to somebody you don't like.
That's not good.
Because it's just cancer.
Yeah, it's like giving someone an angry newt that you don't like. I mean, there's no difference.
I mean, kind of, because here's the thing is, this thing is dangerous sitting on the shelf because the radiation is coming out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
This is dangerous sitting in a room. This is dangerous not interacting with.
Yeah, just being there. Just existing.
Being in the same area as you
is
dangerous.
Bad for you, yeah.
Because the particles are shooting out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what is why this is even, the lead is just affecting you, right? You can burn a house down or whatever, but this even sitting on the Walmart shelf is constantly poisoning.
Yeah.
Everything and everybody around it.
Yeah.
I guess that's where I'm getting at. Is it? It's just.
Yeah. No. It's terrible. It's not. It's bad. But I mean, I don't know. He just didn't know about the full effects.
It had a very low
mortality
rate, though, because it didn't sell well.
See, there's always a silver lining.
It's just reading some of the stuff about.
It's not as dangerous as lawn darts.
It had minimal. Some of the stuff said the science kid had minimal exposure. The equivalent to a day's UV exposure to the sun.
Ah, see? See? That's...
Hard. Providing that they were never removed from the radioactive protective containers.
Oh, okay, fair. So, it's like being exposed to the sun for 24 hours, as long as you don't open it or touch it or go too close to it.
Because the particles are still getting out of it.
Yeah.
It's just not as many as... It's just like a beehive, yeah, a trapped beehive.
Ready to explode.
Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah, that's fun. Well, what are, do you have any other, like, I guess, besides the Erector set and some of the other ones you mentioned, any other toys that kind of they were famous, not famous for, but
I mean, tons and tons of these science kits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had everything from vet to doctor to all kinds of just learning, like.
And so I just went to Walmart. I just did some shopping, some Christmas shopping for my nephews and nieces, and I went to like the educational toy part, you know, mm-hmm. where you get like the science kits and so I bought them like this little motorized like marble run, mm-hmm. like you make your own, which I, you know, is pretty neat, but that section is like tiny in the store, you know what
it's
I mean?
Gotten very small. So there used to be where almost 99% of my Christmas presents came from as a kid,
mm-hmm.
was discoverystore.com.
Yep.
And then there was a couple actual Discovery stores.
Okay.
Because the Polaris Mall, which I don't think, I haven't been in forever, so it may still exist.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a, like, I don't know if that company, that part of the company still exists either.
Yeah.
I had great science kits.
Mm-hmm.
Great, like, mostly for me, it was biology kits. But it was Discovery Channel's, like.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they had, like, volcanoes and geological kits. Another weird one is Menards, every once in a while, gets a bunch of them in.
Huh.
Where it's like the frog dissection, and it's the mineralogist kit, and it's,
yeah, or yeah, you dig.
Because I just was Christmas shopping for the kids, and they were all like $5. This huge bin of Just random science kits.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. They also had those at Menards, the little toy cars you can assemble and paint.
I seen that. I like that.
Those seem like fun. Oh, I just seen something cool for anyone out there, Christmas ideas for little kids. It was like a homemade, you make your own magnets for the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really neat. There was like these little like paint. It was like these little wooden stencils, basically. And you pop them out. So they're like wood. And then you paint them. And then it comes with like magnets that you can glue to the back of them. And it just looks really neat.
That's probably their most famous product ever, the chemistry set.
Oh, the chemistry set. Wow, that's a toy. That's wild.
It's like a professional chemistry set.
Yeah, it don't even look like toys. No, and
some of those chemicals I was looking at.
Not good, probably, but...
But, I mean, it's... Yeah.
But still, I mean, I love...
Tannic acid's fine.
I still love the fact that, you know, we're allowing kids... They're smart enough to take the risk and, like, with responsibility.
Yes.
I don't know. Which before, you know, or now, I mean, it's...
Ammonia chloride is a pretty bad one.
That's a bad one, yeah.
That's the first one in the kit.
It's like even my sister, she's a new mom. My nephew, he's a one, and he's just over one. Let's just put it that way. And I just overheard her talking the other day, just talking about basically, you know, I forget what, he was playing with something. And, you know, she was just afraid. Oh, no, like, she got all worried and up, like, because, oh, no, is he breathing? He's not moving. But he was just laying there holding this toy. But she was just hyper. But, I mean, her being a new mom, I think that's normal, too. But
oh, gosh.
Still with, like, it's just kids. We treat them like they're vulnerable, like they're not capable of anything without us being there to hold their hand or watch them through it. Or I don't know. I like the toys. I like all these toys. I like this guy. The Erector set is awesome, too.
I got his list.
Of?
It's thousands of toys, so I'm not going to go through them all.
Okay.
What do you want me to tell you?
You can name off a few.
So like his magic kits, his microscope sets, there was a tool chest, Danny's beginner set, which is another educational one. He had several microscope sets through the years. Safety first DC inverter set.
Wow. I never had that as a kid.
And then the advanced one after that was the junior electrician.
See, that stuff's awesome. I would love to have that so I can learn. Because electricity for me... I have to deal with it at work. I don't understand it. I was actually talking with JD at
Chumming with Spirits.
Chumming with Spirits podcast, which if you guys haven't listened to them yet, go check them out. Give JD a shout out.
And Larry.
Larry. Not, yes. But JD came to visit us this past week from work. He stopped out at the
Kansas
bowling
City.
Alley.
He came all the way out from Kansas City just to visit us.
Just to visit us. That's the only reason he came to Ohio. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But I took him to the back of the bowling alley and was just showing him stuff. But I was telling him, like, my machines back there, the only thing I really struggle with is the electronic components of it. You know, there's wires running everywhere. And I just know, like, if the wire, whatever, I just know this thing's supposed to have this much power coming out of it. So I can test it, and I can, if it's reading 110, I know it's running right. And if it's not, something's wrong. So but I don't know why it's wrong. I just know I got to replace a wire or replace this. And he was saying he was in electrical engineering school, or for the military, he was talking about he was in it. And the way they taught him, they called it the...
Likert test?
No, it was the magic smoke, basically. Something MS. Something magic smoke. But,
okay.
And he's like, I don't understand. Like, so he's finally after like a week, he's, you know, what are you talking about? What's this... What are you talking about? The magic. And they're like, think of it like this. It's magic. So like the stuff running through, like the electricity running through all the wires, you know, powering everything and running everything. He's like, to explain how it actually works is almost like, we don't know how it works, but imagine though, it's magic and it does work. And the moment something goes wrong and you see the magic smoke escape, it all stops working. So you don't want the magic smoke to get out, which is right. So if something shorts out,
right.
Something shorts out and the smoke.
The magic. You see it spark. Escaped.
Yeah. You see the smoke fly. The magic escaped. It's not working no more. So you got to figure out what's going on. And now I'm like, that's how it works in my head, too. So maybe I'm not too far off as I think.
Merry-go-round construction set. Safety first transformer circuit breaker set.
Gosh, that's wild.
Several more. So the Inventor's Laboratories came out every couple years, updated. with its senior laboratory, which was an advanced kit.
Mm.
Several more tool chest, remote controlled kit. And that was in the 1930s. More merry-go-round kits. Safety First, which was a series. So Safety First is a series of toys. New twin controller transformer. And then the circuit breaker kit. Safety First electron rectiformer. I don't know what that means.
Mm.
Chemistry set with microscope. Rectiformer power source kit. Master scientist laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
Directional rectifier kit. I don't even know. A lot of train powered. Like, so you could make micro steam engines, coal fire engines.
That's so awesome.
And like we were saying when we talked about the one guy learned how to make engines or how rudimentary engines work from working on a train, one of the military guys.
Dan, the heart, the artificial heart guy.
Mm-hmm.
You just remind me of something I think I talked about actually recently. That little Stirling, I have a Stirling engine model.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually supposed to fit on top of like coffee cups like this.
And so spin?
Yeah, because the way it works, a Stirling engine is like basically two plates. And it runs off the temperature difference between the two plates. So as long as the bottom plate's hot and the top one's cold, it'll constantly turn, which is pretty neat. But it's like a little model, engine model kit. And I found that online. And then someone else got me one for Christmas. It's like another Stirling engine, but this one runs off. It basically has like a little glass chamber you fill with like rubbing alcohol. And then you light that like a candle. Mm-hmm. And you sit that under like this little glass chamber that's where you get your heat from. So it powers it from heat from a different way. But once you get it, that flame going, and you just give the motor that little pulley, a little push, like a jump kickstart basically. And then it just runs constantly, and it's pretty awesome. Stirling engines. So if you got like a little scientist or a little motorhead in your family, that's a son or daughter that likes that kind of stuff, get them a little model Stirling engine.
I mean, these train sets seem pretty cool where you build the little trains.
You just reminded me of something else. So I mentioned earlier, mom and dad, you know, work at a custom injection plastic molding factory. When I was real little, we used to make this product. It was a little train set, but you would ride on it. Like, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the little like John Deere tractors. Yep. And so we make those now. But back in the day, that same company, Peg Perigo, they used to make a little train set that you would ride on. But we made all the tracks for it. So you can make your own custom track, and then you put the train on it, and you can ride around your house on your own custom track toy. So you could buy like extra tracks and make.
I remember this toy.
Yeah. We used to make them. I mean, this was when I was little too. I think we still have the train somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got one like with the tracks somewhere, like in storage. Tucked away far, but it's probably back by my brother's moon shoes. So that's how far back it is.
Which Patreon episode, we're going to talk about moon shoes.
Really?
Don't bring it up now.
Okay. I was just saying it's terrible. Moon shoes suck.
I still have a pair.
Yeah, they're terrible. They probably need new elastic, huh?
Now, yeah. But no, so once again, we'll be back to our normal kind of stuff after this week. Wednesday, you'll have a special message from St. Nicholas himself.
The real Santa.
Yes.
We got him. We pulled him from the Fey world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. From the Fey wilds.
The wilds of, yes. Well, he's that, yeah, the king of the Fey.
The king of the Fey. But once again, always, we love you guys. You know, it's mm-hmm. a hard time of year. Seasonal depression's real. Check up on your friends. Christ is king, and just celebrate, you know, enjoy yourself, enjoy your families, enjoy your friends, find something to hold on to. I know it's a trying time for everybody. It is,
especially you get cabin fever too.
Yeah, and the world's been a hard place for a long time, and it's gotten harder.
Yeah.
So just try to find joy and check up on people.
Right.
You never know who could use it and a little effort can change somebody's life.
It can a whole lot, yeah.
But I've been the great and powerful Mystery.
And I've been JClone25.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to Cribbins the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!